is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
See Live Off the Record with Shivago Line is brought to you by Acapran International Academy, Bahamas First General Insurance Company, Bahamar, Central Bank, City of Hope, Epic Battery, Prince Masters, RF Bank and Trust, Southwest Plaza, Star General, Insurance Made Simple, and Sun Oil Limited.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. It is my hope that you are doing absolutely well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. That's 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043 on channel 969. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. So the crime story is one that, like, it seems to keep on giving. It's the Prime Minister said in response to Mr. Pintard's 10-point plan, which seems to have evoked quite a strong response from the government. First, the government's claim was that it was a recycled set of ideas that are already being implemented, which I took to mean they are ideas which they think are good and should be implemented because they are implementing them. And then the Prime Minister recently said that they could be accused of plagiarism. Plagiarism. Now, I don't know how familiar you are with the term plagiarism, but plagiarism is when you adopt or you take on somebody's ideas, words, and you fail to give attribution. So you fail to say, by the way, when I say this, I got this from Shivago Lang. I got this from Encyclopedia Britannica. So you have to give attribution. It's an academic expression in particular where people who are able to be careful that if they embrace a thought or an idea or a concept from someone. Okay, this is key. This is key. If you embrace the thought or idea from someone or the words from someone, you have to give attribution. If it wasn't your original idea, you have to give attribution. So you have to say where you got it from. Now, it is possible for two people living in two different places to actually form the same idea. It's possible too. So they don't have to give attribution if they didn't get it from anybody. But it happens to be similar, right? And it has happened before where researchers have done research on the same subject matter in different places and come up with the same conclusion, right? So that's possible too. The other thing about plagiarism is you can't really plagiarize broad concepts, especially in the arena of politics and public policy where people float an idea. So if for instance, if merely having the same idea somebody else has is plagiarism, there's plagiarism happening in all kinds of countries in the world, because all kinds of countries in the world are addressing crime by more cars, more technology, more training for the police officers, audits and stuff like that of the police force, et cetera. In this same country, I've read speeches from Dr. Bernard Nottage when he was Minister of National Security, and I'm talking about him, just read them. Read their budget contributions from Tommy Turnquist, from Marvin Dames, and the words popping up, those concepts popping up in every single budget speech. So you can't plagiarize unless, and you could only accuse me of plagiarism if you can prove you originated the idea and I took the idea and used it as my own without giving attribution to you. That's the only way you could do it. Otherwise, it's really not a thing to suggest it. And in public policy space, that's really hard to really get by. But, you know, if you want to sully something, You throw stuff at it, recycled, plagiarism, that kind of stuff. It's shocking to see it used in the public arena, in the public policy arena that way, though. It's stunning, actually, quite frankly. It's a very serious charge, very serious charge. In academic circles, you get thrown out of university for that. You can lose credibility in academia as a researcher, a scholar, as an expert for that. Very serious. Very serious. You know, you could even plagiarize yourself. So let's say you wrote a study some years ago, and you take words from your own study and cite them in your, not cite, but use them in a present piece of work you're doing, and don't cite it. You don't say line 2020, line 2011. You just go on and say, blah, 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 and blah, no attribution. You plagiarize yourself. That's how serious plagiarism is. So I thought that was really funny, actually. It's the season. It's the silly season. It's that season. Recycled, plagiarized plans that have been mentioned sometimes in the exact word for almost 30 years. But anyway, today I thought to pick up some stuff I'm seeing in the news, and so we can talk about them. You can share what you want to share too. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Sure, I go. Good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, I'm right here, man. How are you?
Chicago, I can tell you now, man, for the start of your show, you really got some of us out there really laughing at the commentary already, you know. the commentary about plagiarism and all that stuff, you know, your context in which you're using it is quite actually correct, you know. It's using the exact, from my understanding, using the exact words presented in the exact way somebody else would have already done it, and they also basically, in a sense, trademarked the writing or whatever it is that was presented.
Hold on, just before you go on, let me say something.
Yeah.
So you're right that plagiarism, one form of plagiarism, is using the exact words of somebody else and not giving attribution. In which case, Mr. Pintard would not have plagiarized anything, because I've read both things and both things are not the same wording. But substantial way, but not giving attribution. Okay. So you could rephrase it. And again, there's no way to look at the two of those things and say, oh, they just rephrased the other one and therefore it's plagiarism.
Okay. That is true as well, and I accept that as well. You know, you say it's silly season. There's nothing silly about this season. This is all you know, expected. But the only last part I would like to add to this entire thing is, you know, you have to understand what's at play here. You know, for the learned and those persons who can analyze things, they could see that obviously that utterance was not for people like such as us who think. It's basically for those who have the incapacity to think things through, or have the wisdom and the knowledge to understand what is at play here. You know, we really need to stop the nonsense, you know. Like someone said on a previous show, it is possible that more than one person can have the same thought or express it. But like I said, to me, the plagiarism side of it was kind of comical, because when I listened to everything and I listened to both utterances, you know, I didn't see anything where it constituted that once someone copied something from the other and claimed to make it their own. So I don't know what's going on, but then that was my take from it, you know. But thanks for taking my call. I'll continue to listen.
Yeah, man. I think we had a little cut off when I was trying to explain also that plagiarism isn't only repeating somebody's words word for word. You can actually paraphrase somebody's words substantially and plagiarize. But again, there's no way to look at the 10-point plan and the 5-pillar strategy and claim that it was plagiarism at all. I mean, in fact, you know, as I said, If that's plagiarism, we've been plagiarizing. Every administration been plagiarizing, because these thoughts about what is to be done with respect to crime, they ain't nothing new at all. Maybe recycle is a good word. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Good afternoon, Bahama. You know, great contribution, Mr. Lang. Great show. You know, but the thing is, Mr. Lang, that I'm trying to get appreciation of, right? The government is accusing the official opposition of plagiarizing. But as I look, I can see, I move around, I'm trying to establish exactly that it's actually working for them to be bragging about and saying that they've already done this. You know, because people still have this fear of crime, rightfully so. You know, I've heard about numerous instances where children got hit with stray bullets doing homework to the table. A lady got gunned down going to prayer meeting. You know, and when you look at crimes against a person, when you look at rape, when you look at murders, when you look at incest, we are still doing some intolerable numbers. So why would the government just jump on the official opposite is plagiarizing, then? I mean, it seems, I mean, you may differ, my opinion, it doesn't matter, but the point I'm trying to make is crime is still out of control when you compare our country size, our population size per capita with other jurisdictions. We are doing record numbers.
Yeah, you know, the you raise a good point. To the extent that, and you know, there's so much guilt about this, right? So a politician says what we are doing is working. So let me tell you what the prime minister is saying. The prime minister is saying that if you look at crime, where let's take murders, where it went when he came to office. He's saying that, so he went from the 120 something to 110, and so he's now in mid-year, he's now got 44, so if that continues on that trend, he'd be at 88. So he's saying, if you look at what crime, what murder is doing, and it's going downward, So he's saying it's what we're doing is working because murder is going downward. The only why what you said is so important is I would dare ask the prime minister, for instance, or anyone in his administration, his minister of national security, to link the downward trend in murder to a government policy effort. I'm not saying they can't. I'm saying no one has today.
I've been trying to look. I've been looking at it. I like to look at numbers and statistics. I've been looking at some of the policies that are implemented, like police saturation, hiring more police. Now they're moving in the direction of building a $50 million prison. When you look at another jurisdiction, prisons are being closed down because there isn't anything any inmate, the house, they're transferring into other jurisdictions.
But the statistic of murder is going downward. That's a fact. From unless you think the commission of those are lying, the numbers are going down. So we can't deny that. So the question, though, is this a natural phenomenon or is this something that's being is happening because of something the government did and is doing? And so what is that something?
I believe these perpetrators can't find these people who they're looking for. That's why the numbers are going down. That's what I think.
Well, listen. In the absence of what it is, you could say anything. But what is
just
true,
let me leave
though,
this with you, Mr. Lang. I just want to leave this with you. When you look at the World Health Organization and how they compile statistics, right?
Yeah, we already know. Listen, we already know our per capita murder rate is exceptionally high. So that's
only point is, Mr. Lang, they do an average of 5 murders per 100,000. So
But guess what? If I was doing 122 murders and I'm doing 110, my murder rate is going down. It's still high, but it's going down. So that's something, right? I can't be complaining if it's going down, even though, yes, I'm complaining, it's still too high, but at least it's going down. So, and if I keep pushing it down, for instance, if it happens at the same rate the second half as it happened in the first half, it'll be 88. That's a substantial down from 120.
But when you look at the numbers, we are on a trajectory to do more than what we did last year.
That's not true, though. That's not true. Because the number was 44. If you do the same number in 6 months as you did the first 6 months, it'll be 88. That's basic math.
Are you comparing that with last year's number?
I'm comparing. Listen, man, I don't want to confuse my audience. This is a subject area for me that I don't have to guess about. The commissioner of police reported in June of 2025, 44 murders. That means in 6 months, you had 44. If you had that same trend for the rest of the year, you will have 88. 88 is less than 100 plus last year.
Fair enough. It should be around 15 for 100,000, but no, for 20
but it's down.
No problem.
It's down. It's down. You know, the only way to get from 100 to 1 is to pass through 99, 98, 97, and so forth. That's the only way to do it.
Fair enough. But, you know, it isn't anything for the prime minister to pause on right now and start talking about who's plagiarizing his work. There's time.
The rate is irrelevant. The rate is irrelevant. What is relevant is plagiarism could only be plagiarism if it's plagiarism. Honey, nothing but this is plagiarism. That's the only thing. he can brag about the rate if it's going down because it's under his administration. Because if it was going up, you would be complaining and saying, look, it's going up. If it's going down, and he could brag and say, yes, it's going down. We're bringing it down.
Fair enough.
Okay. Thank you, man. Appreciate you calling. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, good day, Mr. Lang.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great. One thing I appreciate is the explanation. If you would listen to the supporters of the opposition party, they don't know what they said just now. I wish you clearly explain now that the crime rate is going down. Everybody who supports the opposite side, I tell them, say, look at the facts. I said,
you can't argue that.
Mr. Lang is actually speaking the facts, and don't be politically blinded. Though this is this government, it is going down according to the facts.
I want you guys to remember that when I say other things that the government doesn't like, or people in who support the government doesn't like, because that's what I have to do. I have to look at the facts. I can't because I believe one thing, I have to say it a different way. No, the facts are what the facts are. That's what it is. And the murder rate is going down. That's a fact. Right? Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take our first break. And when we return, we'll continue our conversation. We'll be back after this break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabag Walang, your host.
Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Then you know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down. Can't take your
New school year, new gear. From uniforms to laptops, a Fidelity personal loan can help you check every item off of your kids' school list. Jump into back-to-school season with ease. Apply for a Fidelity personal loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Parents, do you believe your child deserves more than the ordinary? Are you still deciding which school is the best fit for your child? At Akapran International Academy, we believe every student deserves the opportunity to excel. Our dedicated teachers, caring staff, small class sizes, and diverse programs will ensure that your child receives the support, resources, and training needed for success. At Akapran, your child will sure find their purpose. We offer classes in GLAT, BJC, and BGCSE subjects. We empower students to excel, not just in school, but in life through our courses including aviation, STEM, robotics, cosmetology, technology, culinary, dance, sewing, and graphic design. Our students are climate justice advocates and geospatial cadets who have traveled to New York, Washington, NASA Space Center, and even Egypt to explore and participate in international tours and conferences. Enroll your child today and let them discover their strength, pursue their passions, and achieve their dreams. Call us today at 826-3589 or 324-9212. Don't settle for ordinary. Choose extraordinary. Choose a Akapran International Academy.
Man, I can't wait to eat. I am starving.
You know our sport never disappoints.
Boy, I left my wallet in the room. No way I'm going back.
Relax, buddy. You've got your phone, right?
Yeah, I do.
Perfect. Just pay with Sand Dollars from your digital wallet.
Good thing Sand Dollar transactions are seamless, safe, and convenient.
Yep, Sand Dollars save the day.
Experience the convenience of Sand Dollar, the digital currency of the Bahamas. Whether you're dining out or anywhere else, Sand Dollar ensures seamless transactions. Join the future of payments with Sand Dollar.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259 from the Family Islands, 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. The Nassau Guardian has a story written by Rachel Scott, says U.S. wants tighter restrictions on student other visa. Says United States Department of Homeland Security is proposing a 4-year time limit on student and exchange visas to allow for better monitoring of those visa holders. For too long, says this quote, past administrations have allowed foreign students and other visa holders to remain in the U.S. virtually indefinitely, posing safety risks, costing untold amounts of taxpayer dollars, and disadvantaging U.S. citizens, a DHS spokesperson says. Says this new proposed rule would end that once all by limiting the amount of time certain visa holders are allowed to remain in the U.S., easing the burden on the federal government to properly oversee foreign students and history. I don't know if we get the message yet. But the United States of America, through its current administration, is very clear that residing in America under any condition, that which is the law and policy of the United States of America, is not going to be tolerated. Not going to be tolerated. Right? And people, listen, I frankly have my challenges with the way things rolled out in this dispensation in certain ways, and I have my issues, but elections have consequences, folks. Elections have consequences, and when a person or persons are elected to office, they get to decide the general direction and control of the country within the limits of their constitution and their laws. There is a decided shift in foreign residency in America, legal and illegal, legal and illegal. And that shift is to tighten things up, to make it more difficult to reside in America, legally and illegally. That's reality. So, We ought not to be shocked. We ought not to be surprised, especially when you have people doing things which they projected before taking office they would do, or projecting things that should make it unsurprising if they do certain other things. Right? So if you go to America, if your child is going to America to study, and that child is going to America to study for 2 years, this is up, let the child go home unless there is some other prevailing law in America under which they could stay. If it's 4 years, stay for 4 years and catch your backside out if you don't have some other legitimate reason and means by which to be there. When people tell you, listen, I ain't happy about you being here longer than you have to be in my country, believe them. And carry your backside. All right, that's how we want to treat here. We would like that. That's how we would like it here, right? When another administration comes in and decides to be a little bit more liberal, okay, then it's a little bit more liberal. But abide by the environment you find yourself in today. Today, it is very clear. There is not the same degree of welcomeness, friendliness, and that kind of thing in relation to certain ways in which people have resided in America in time past. Now, those are people who visit, and if you just visit, like when you go, we go on a tourism visa, the man asks you, how long you'll be here? I'm going to be here till next week, Thursday. Okay, leave next week, Thursday. If you can't leave next week, Thursday, well, they give you, generally give you a certain period of time. Just make sure you don't stay, overstay in the people country longer than that. The environment is different. It isn't just different in terms of the academic harsh policy of the matter, the letter of the law of the policy. The spirit is different. Okay, it is. I was watching a CNN story and the people was complaining that Donald Trump was firing the head of the CDC and a few other executives of the CDC. And they say, well, the firing was over a dispute between the Secretary of Health, Kennedy, and them about vaccines and stuff like that, right? So someone was saying, shouldn't we lean on the side of the technical experts and so forth? Yes, there's a reasonable basis to believe that. But guess what is true, folks? Elections have consequences. And if you have the power to determine policy, oh my God, understand what that means. That means that I could say to hell with experts, to hell with academics, to hell with the science. This is the direction I want my country to go in. And I have the power and delegated authority to do that. Elections have consequences. So I don't get mad with Mr. Trump if he fire everybody at the CDC. Mind you, the consequences will flow from that when they flow, and then people will feel it. But as to doing it, because one of the person said, just because people disagree with him, yeah, because it's your policy is the one that gets to govern when they elect you president. When you elect the PLP government or the FNM government, their policy within the ambit of the law is what they get to determine. What does the Constitution say? The Constitution says that the cabinet shall have general direction and control of the government. All right, you want to take it left, take it right. You want to take it forward. You want to take it backward, take it backward. Just make sure what you're doing is within the law. And if the law can't accommodate what you're doing, go change the law and make the law accommodate what you're trying to do. That's how it works. What Donald Trump has been doing is he's been doing a lot of executive decision making because he finds the Congress too cumbersome. But he could go to the Congress and ask the Congress to say, listen, man, I need a law to help me do this. And if the Congress was willing to abide, he could do that too, because elections have consequences. They want to tighten up visa policy. They have the right to do it. No matter whether you like a man or don't like a man, if he is not disobeying the law, he can do it. And if there's disagreement as to whether he is disobeying the law, then come to court. And if the court agree with him, dog eat your lunch. Elections have consequences. This news story, next news story says government continues negotiations with the U.S. for Cuban workers. I want you to listen to this now. Think about this. The government of the Bahamas, an independent country, goes to the Republic of Cuba, an independent country, and says, I would like your workers to come work with me. Now, United States of America, an independent country, has a policy toward Cuba Cuba is doing things that violates the human rights of the Cuban people. But Cuba agrees to let the Bahamas use its workers, and those workers agree to come to the Bahamas and work, and they come and they work in our hospitals. They waken these grown people, these in Sharon, grown people, come. the United States, an independent country, tells the Bahamas an independent country, we see that as when you say things sometimes to them, they call it fake news. They say it ain't so. You don't get to say it ain't so, right? So now you negotiating with them about something that has nothing to do with them, only has to do with you and Cuba, but only has to do with them, because if they decide to punish you, you dog eat your lunch. Well, by dagger. You see that? You negotiate an independent country, you an independent country, America, an independent country, don't like what you're doing, and America may threaten your livelihood because their citizens come to you because they see you as doing something they don't like. And if you did that to another country, they'd call it blackmail, they'd call it coercion, and all kinds of other things. But here, it's just our policy. If y'all don't see what's going on in the world now, all right. Okay. That's that. Government continues to negotiate with the U.S. for Cuban workers. These Cuban workers are not in the United States, you know. The United States trying to get rid of all the foreign people they say shouldn't be in their country. These Cuban workers are coming to the Bahamas legally. Legally. You mean to tell me you're the government of the Bahamas, and you are not bright enough. You, the government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, you are not bright enough to determine whether what you are doing is a violation of human rights or not. You need someone else to tell you that. The Attorney General of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas cannot analyze the circumstances around an agreement with the government of Cuba to decide what we have been doing for all these years is a violation of human rights. You cannot sit with the human beings with whom you have the agreement, who are in your country, working in your country, providing health care, life-saving health care. You cannot sit with them and determine, is I violating your human rights? Tell me, please. So citizens of the Bahamas have to be deprived of needed healthcare services that they cannot provide themselves. And if they go to the United States to get, they have to pray Almighty God they have an insurance capable of absorbing the extent of the cost of that. Do y'all want to hear something? Let me not say. I can say. Right? So you gotta put life-saving healthcare services on delay because someone has defined what you do as a violation and breach of human rights, and you have not the capacity to tell them, no, my brother, we have examined this from all the angles necessary to determine this is not a violation of human rights. Is it a violation of human rights to pick up somebody dead in a city and say you are an immigrant, an illegal immigrant, and you have these masked agents who are unnamed and unidentified doing that? What if you in the Bahamas say that's a violation of human rights to have people get lost in a system from their loved ones, from their own legal representatives? Is that a violation of human rights? Can we make that determination a judgment? And what bearing can that have with other people? Let me tell you all something here. If you don't see the play, we are now in an environment much in the world where might is right. That's it. It's not about lawfulness. It's not about reasonableness. It's not altogether about what is appropriate. In some instances, this is just the raw use of power. And because you ain't have nothing you could do about it, might is right. You know where else that works in the world? Rape. Rape ain't about sex all the time, you know. Rape is about power. Who they raping? They raping the weaker. Right? That's what you find happening. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today's school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
In the face of a storm, it's not just buildings that get tested, it's all of us. Insurance isn't just about repair, it's about recovery. So when the winds die down, you're already on the path forward. Having insurance can mean the difference between starting over and starting stronger. So talk to an authorized agent or broker of Bahamas First General Insurance about how the right coverage can support you through this season and whatever comes next. With Bahamas First, you're in safe hands, in all seasons.
Now let me see now. 326 EPIC. Hello? Hello? This Epic Eckert Battery. This Miss Beulah from round the corner. I hear you're selling tires now on Wolf Road 2.
Praise the Lord. It's about time. I live Fox Hill and Fire Trail. It's too far.
That ain't all. They open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. On Sunday and holiday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
My brother Sam, he's a hacker, and he could go right there and get fixed up.
Call us at 326-EPIC. We ship also to the Family Island.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Question, do you think, you know, we have a number of behemoths living over there for many years through either residency or through marriage and stuff? Do you think this thing will trickle down to them as to say, well, okay, we will revoke that status?
I think the reality is one does not know where this could end.
Does not know.
There are U.S. citizens born and raised in the U.S. who concern themselves sometimes whether or not they may be inadvertently caught up in this very aggressive net of immigration enforcement. And so one never knows. So you just have to line yourself up and try to be, you know, on the level. And even if you get caught up.
I just thought about it. It's a funny situation, you know. Some people being over there for decades on residency.
Of course.
They just might decide that, hey, this is it. I don't need that no more.
Yeah, many people. So you don't know. You really, honestly, you don't know. That's one of the reasons why, and I'm happy you raised it. That's one of the reasons why bureaucracies are slow, methodical, and rigid. You realize that? Because what it does is it causes people not to exist in an environment of instability and uncertainty, because the bureaucracy has a certain inertia that builds up in it, that provides that certainty. And when change comes, it comes, even if it comes slowly, it comes with certainty and stability.
Okay. Yeah, man. Yeah. Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, man. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Okay. Do we have another call on the line? Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, good afternoon, Shabazz. How are you doing?
Hey, Antoine. What's going on?
Right on, man. Right on. I wanted to call you. I think it may have been earlier in the week, probably Monday, or even as late as Friday, when you first spoke about the Prime Minister's statement, Prime Minister Davis's statement regarding crime and the backdrop of what opposition leader Inside had to say when they released their plan, right? Mm-hmm. Was it Friday or was it this week when you first spoke about it?
It had to be Thursday or sometime, but Wednesday before.
Last week.
You know, Friday I do music.
Okay, all right.
But it wasn't this week, I think. I think it was last week.
Right, so what I wanted to add to it is
you lost him? Yeah, go ahead, Antoine. You're fading out. Okay, did we lose him? Okay. Let me see if we have some more text here. This text says, so I think the numbers are going down because the construction boom. The gangsters are at work now. Okay. is there a construction boom? Okay. It's a good day line. No government should be praising downward trend on murder. Give praise on no murder, which the government is not responsible for. No murder. All right, guy. Okay. I mustn't be thankful the murders are going down. Just only when it gets to no murder, I'm good. you should wake up and smell the coffee because that ain't realistic. It says there's another criterion for a case of plagiarism. Can the thing be solely attributed to you? If someone says the sky is blue and you say the sky is blue, have you committed plagiarism? I actually alluded to this. When I heard Pintard's plan, I was actually disappointed because it was so general. What police commissioner has not said, we're going to increase officers in the street. Exactly. We're going to engage community. Exactly. This is simply too general for you, 100%. It's Texas, Mr. Lang, if our prime minister had half of the, I can read just what you write. If our prime minister had half of the disciple and values of President Trump, our country would be in a better place. He was and remains an outstanding figure of this century. Go ahead, Anton. We got like 3 minutes left. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I don't know what that last text
went to. It's okay. Anton, don't worry about him, man. You ain't see me. Just come to you.
Okay.
Yes, more.
Okay, Jamaica. Now, look, I wanted to say the same thing to you when you first spoke about it, right? Later that evening, the next day, I think the Minister of National Security spoke to exactly what I spoke to, but I'll still say what I wanted to say. I don't think the Prime Minister was saying that he agrees that what the opposition leader was suggesting in his crime plan is a good thing, right? Based upon the Prime Minister's statement, I think the Prime Minister was stating on the strength of what his policy is, right? Along with
Anton. Yeah. I know you to be an intelligent human being. I know that for a fact, okay? So don't let your efforts be twisted by your desire to help out, right? Because, Anton, if I say you are planning to do something that I am doing,
right,
how could that not mean you're doing something, you're suggesting something good? Why would I be doing it?
I'm not saying that to say, Shivago, at all. What was being suggested by the opposition leader is not good. That's not where I'm getting
off. No, but Anton, listen, man. I listened to you. I heard you. You don't need to prompt me, but I know what to say. You're saying what you don't think the prime minister is saying, that what he is saying is good. That's what you said.
Mm. What I'm saying
to you, and there's no logical human being, who could make any other inference than that. If what you are saying is what I am doing, and what I am doing is good, what you are saying has to be good. Period.
Right. Yeah, not,
premise.
Normally,
conclusion.
Yes. Normally and naturally, yes, I agree with you, but that's not what I'm saying, Zubago.
Anton, we got. Listen, it's 3 o'clock.
Can I make the next point?
It's 3 o'clock. You could call back. You can call back if you want, but it's 3 o'clock. We got to go to break. We got to go to news break. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. We'll be back after the news break.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Z Live, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. This text says, good day, Shivago. Great show as usual. Please join me in wishing our mother, Velva Yvonne Milk Cooper, a happy 81st birthday from her children, Pascola, Osina, Alex, Paulette, Vernie, and Greg, who's looking down, smiling and sending birds portal. We love and appreciate you and pray that God blesses you with many more birthdays with continued health, strength, vitality, and youth. There you go, Mama Velva. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. By the way, today is my last child's birthday. He is 17 years old. You'll hear me talk about him often. Xavier Maximus Lang is 17 today. Great guy. Got a great personality, and he celebrates his 17th birthday today. Y'all remember I just was saying, the name slips me, but I was telling him that if we continued on the trend we were on when the commissioner gave her report in June that the government would achieve 80, that murder rate would be 88. The number of murders more than last year and the year before that. That'll be the lowest murder rate we have had. I would, because we had 75 in, or 74 during the pandemic. But for ordinary years, that'd be one of the lowest rate, I would say, in the last 20 years. Now, guess what? The rate, if we continue on this trend, we are at 58 now, I think, 58. If you continue at this rate here, you will end up at 77 or 78. So it's even less than I initially said, if that happens. So you've got September, October, November. And if that happens, you will have a historically low rate. In terms of recent numbers, in terms of murder. This text says, Ms. Lang, can you explain why the government is saying nurses are making too much money in PHA so they are excluded from the salary review? If this happens, the government slap nurses in the face on this one. I've not heard the government say that, so I can't comment on it. I really don't. I've not heard the government say that at all. Okay, Anton is back. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. Yes, Anton. Hey. Yes.
All right. So let me move on to the second thing that I wanted to talk about that you moved on to. Something that I have been mulling over and observing in my mind with great wonder for months, from ever since it began. As a matter of fact, let me not say months. Ever since it began, and you're on it today, I am observing with great concern, right, as a citizen of a small island developing state, the new trend that has come about as a result of the extreme shift in policy by the new government of the U.S., right? They have taken an extreme shift in policy. They went from one end of the spectrum, to the completely different end of the spectrum, right? And you hit on it just now when you said that it seems as though Mike is right, right? You can hear me clearly, Chicago?
Yes, I'm listening. I'm listening.
Right. What I want to add, seems as though I wouldn't even go in the direction to say Mike is right, although that could apply. I would go to say, if you are mighty, you simply, it's almost like Parliament, right? The government will have its way, and the opposition should have its say, right? The same policy now is being applied in effect on a global stage, where the U.S. used to be a government that focused on being the guardian for the world, right? And ensuring that democracy and fair play was the order as much as they humanly can, even with their shortfalls, right? It seems as though the shift is now on to the point where, look, man, we are Cookie Monster. We are going to do what we have to do. Everybody else just have to fall in line, like it or not. And that's the scary part about it, because when you move the global or the geopolitics or whatever kind of politics you want to describe, where you were once the hope that many nations across the world look to create some kind of equilibrium or balance, and you shift that to where you do as I say or you get squashed. That's something serious to watch out for, very serious, and it goes far beyond just protecting the interest of your citizens of your country. That's all I wanted to add. So I just wanted to thank you for highlighting that point, because that's something, Shivago, that could harm the entire planet if not managed differently and better than it has been over the last year or so, with the shift that the new government has brought in across the world, stemming from the United States. Thank you for the opportunity, Line. I'll continue to listen.
Thank you, brother. Elex. You can elect a government democratically, and the government that was elected democratically can move you in a direction that's undemocratic. Elections of consequences. As good day, Mr. Lang, and please send a special happy birthday to Mary Dorset, all the way at Dorset's in Grove, who celebrates her birthday today. Okay, Mary Dorset, happy birthday to you. So someone asked me about the claim that, and the Prime Minister confirmed it, that Clint Watson, the former press secretary, the current general manager of ZNS, is interested in seeking a nomination under the PLP in the upcoming general election. What you want me to say? Ambition is a matter of conscience, and everybody's free to express and practice theirs. Clint Watson wants to run First of all, if he wants to be a parliamentarian, an elected parliamentarian, he has every right to want to do that. If he wants to do that under the Progressive Liberal Party, he has every right to want to do that. And if the Progressive Liberal Party decides to give him a nomination, they have every right to do that, to do so. It does, though, now beg the question by those who might say, oh, someone wanting to seek a nomination under the PLP now is general manager of the Public Corporation of the Bahamas. They might say, okay, is that going to interfere with how he does his job there and so forth? And those are fair commentaries too. Of course, just because you have a thought that somebody could be conflicted in their job doesn't mean that they have to be conflicted. You could observe their behavior and conduct, and then you'll have to see whether that is the case or not. But is it an intriguing notion that Mr. Watson wants to do that? It is. And would it be newsworthy? Yes, it would be. Would it be a cause for public discussions? Yes, it would be. You ain't seen nothing yet. Your election ain't happened yet. You ain't see all the people who you and you have no idea what ambitions are exist out there. Who might pop up as a candidate for this party or the next party? You ain't know. No candidates yet. You know some names of people who are interested. So, you know, I imagine the intrigue continues, and we'll probably be saying, what? For real? Them too? Elections, interesting times. And you'll be surprised to know who has political ambition out there. Very surprised. Pastors, priests, teachers, principals, heads of companies. You'll be surprised who hold ambitions out there. So, you'll see. You'll see. The gravitation of candidates to a political party, though, does tend to signal something about what they believe to be true about the outcome, possible outcome of the next election. So when parties' fortune for winning the next election seems low, they don't get as many candidates vying for nominations, or they don't get the quality of candidates. There's always people ambitious toward politics. Always. And let's be frank. All those people do not possess impressive credentials for doing so. They don't. Not impressive. Like if you examine them, their public service background, their civic service background, their private achievements, their public speaking ability, their debate capacity, their intellectual girth, their academic stuff, their common senseness, their charisma may not be at a high level like others might be, right? And that's just reality. Not all that what you're saying, I'm not good enough. That's not even the point, because sometimes people with not all those things get elected because this is who people want. That's the thing about a democracy. But I'm saying, when you start looking at candidates yourself, you know how it is. You look at certain things about them and you go, oh, that's impressive. So when parties are not very attractive because people don't think their prospect will be high, those kinds of candidates stay away. Mind you, they get asked. You want to hear something? If it were possible for you to know how many candidates, how many people, and the kind of people that were asked by parties to run, but refused to run. And the reason why they chose not to run, it might give you a good indication of how they see the outcome in the next election. Because if one thing I know, the people who think they are in a good place, is they can be very conservative about taking risk, political risk, in a political risky environment. And don't call me and tell me about that. Tell me what you think about that. It says, there's nothing scary about the U.S. protecting its sovereignty and the national security of their land. We can take a page from their book. Says they are the ones doing it right and we are doing it wrong. We are too slack. Is Texas, is Anton your co-host and does the work and does he work for the government? Don't ask me stupid questions, man. Don't ask me stupid questions. All right? Let's be sensible. You know, the thing about some of y'all is, instead of complaining, but you pick up the phone, take your text, instead of texting about Anton, you text him with somebody else, instead of texting about what you want to text about. Wasting your good time. Texting about what other people did. That makes plain sense. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. I'll be listening to you.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Go ahead, caller. I'll be listening. Hi.
Yeah. Talking about the U.S., right? These
well, I mentioned him. Yeah. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
They don't want that. They don't want that visa because you have from them, man. You think they do? They bend over backwards.
Who don't want that visa because you have from them?
None of these elected officials right now want a visa, the United States visa yuck away for them because...
Oh, I see, I see, I see, I see. Because if they don't fix this nurses situation...
So therefore they'll bend over backwards whatever Daddy Trump said. Because we're supposed to be independent. Hell with what happened in between United States and Cuba. That ain't happened between Cuba and the Bahamas. They blew up one hour books before, and we still have a good relationship with them.
I can't say you shouldn't consider how your ally and neighbor sees something you're doing.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah, right? But here's my point. My point is, it's your agreement. It's your program.
Yes.
Can you not say, this is a human rights violation, what I'm doing, you know? And if you say what you're doing, violation... What is there to negotiate?
Thank you. So if we see no fault in it, no human rights violation being done, continue hiring the nurses. They helping the Bahamas so greatly because some of them born in some of these family islands where the Bahamian doctors long ago.
Yeah. So that's really the point is that it's, I wouldn't use I the word negotiating. To me, doesn't seem right. Like, you could be discussing with them whatever you want to discuss, and that discussion really is, we have examined this. This is not a human rights violation. We've examined this. This is not a human... They could say, well, yes, we think it is. And you say, it's not a human rights violation. I'm not negotiating with you. You're telling me what you think. I'm telling you what I think.
Thank you.
Right?
Exactly.
Now the problem we have with the program is this, though, bro. Let me ask you a question, right?
Uh-huh.
So... The PM then was asked about this shit before. And the PM said, he don't know who the money is going to in Cuba.
Right.
Let's be serious now.
Right.
If you negotiated something with the Cuban government and you send the money back to Cuba, where you think the money
No, it's going in the bush. They know exactly where the money goes because like you said, they negotiate with the people and say, okay, I will release 20 doctors to you and the money is to go here.
Yeah, part of the money going to the people and part of the money going here. That's part of the agreement, right? And if the people are cool with that, that's fine. But it has to sound suspicious when you say, you as the government of the Bahamas making the payment, and you say, I don't know where the money going?
Yeah, something wrong with that. Doesn't mean you've been lying from day one.
Well, oh, I mean, question. I'm saying you're calling into suspicion what you're doing by saying that, right?
Yes.
Government. Something, and the Cuban government tells me, when you make the payment, I would like it to go to this agency or to this people. That's exactly what I can tell the U.S. I can say, you know what, this is the arrangement we worked out with them, and this is the payment we make up with to them, and this is what we pay these people, and so far, we do not see that as a human rights violation. I think the biggest people to ask if you want to know if it's a human rights violation is the people right down there, they self, them doctors and law and nurses.
Exactly. But you know, so Jokey, we export crawfish, right? Conch.
Mm-hmm.
We send the fish out, the seafood, and they send the money back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Money goes all over. The people have resources and humans, doctors, nurses, and they choose to export those and make a little profit off of them, but yet still paying the people some money. More money than they'll have to pay up, come out of their pocket and pay them. Because I'm sure the government over there ain't coming out of their pocket and paying them. The money they negotiate from the different countries paying them.
You mean the Cubans?
Yes. The Cuban government is paying them. The money is paying them.
Yeah.
So you see, so that's the way the government, they saving money, they making money and saving money. They making money off of them.
Because in Cuba, everybody who sells crawfish and stuff like that work for the government.
Yeah. They got a government job. But you know what's so ironic about it? Everyone in Cuba gets rice, everyone gets sugar, everyone gets meat, everyone gets butter, everyone gets salt. Right? No matter what you are, doctor, lawyer, garbage man. Right? Mm-hmm. So everyone eats, right?
Mm-hmm.
You agree?
Yeah.
Okay, now look at the first, they call them third world. Now look at, they call them first world. You go right down in Washington, D.C., the capital. You have people on the side of the road living in cardboard boxes.
Yeah. But you know something? But you know, I see the point you're making. But really, this is, for me, this is the issue in a country. This is the issue. If my citizens agree, this is how we want to live. They agree. Then I'm okay. If you agree we want to be communist, socialist, democratic, etc., no problem. Because for me, I don't know, maybe I'm off, but I just think that freedom is the fundamental right. And that I think is the thing that people desire the most. Because the slaves used to eat too, you know. They used to feed the slaves and give them water. But they didn't want to be like that, though. They didn't want somebody deciding, I could only have chicken back. If there's a whole chicken, I can have a part I want.
But watch this, though. Watch this. In the beginning, it wasn't like that, you know. When some slaves, especially when slavery was abolished, when slavery was abolished, right? Most slaves, they decided to stay with the master.
No, sir. That's not true. What happened was, when slavery was abolished, in the southern part of the United States in particular, they had a program called indentured servitude.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was, some slaves agreed to stay with their masters, and they would do to stay with their masters for a period of 7 years, and they'd work, and they would get, after that, they'd be released with something. That was really a compromise negotiated with the southern states to avoid foot. That was not generally the case for most slaves.
Yeah, but you know, guess what? Honestly, we are own, I talk about the color of our skin, treat our own worse than the beige.
But bad treatment doesn't change the fundamental thing I said, which is that people want freedom. And it is that deprivation in every situation, whether that's a democracy or autocracy or a communist situation, it is that deprivation that is the most egregious.
Is freedom learned or inherited?
No, freedom is what we call innate. It is an innate, it is a God-given right.
Yeah,
I understand. It's not bestowed upon you. You come to birth with that as a right.
Yeah, but watch this. If I only know that every
that's nonsense. That's nonsense. That's like saying if I only know a pedophile who abuses me and that's the only system I grew up under and that's what I know and I accept it, that makes it right.
It does not make it right, you know. I never
yeah,
said
well,
it
makes
that's
it all,
right.
But that's the only thing we're negotiating here, bro. We're only negotiating what is right.
What is right, okay.
That's all we're negotiating. We're not talking about whether Cuba is bad off or worse off or terrible off, et cetera, and so forth. Like I said before, if people choose a way, I'm with them.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah. All right, brother. Appreciate you calling.
All right.
Appreciate you calling. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. You want to take? Let's take the call. Go ahead, Antoine. We're listening to you again.
Yeah, you asked me a question, right? But then you came up, you and the last caller.
I know you ain't getting into nothing
right?
else. You call you. I call your name for.
Can you repeat it clearly for me, please, so I can make
sure. Yeah. I said how candidates gravitate to you, numbers and
right.
quality, is an indication of how they perceive the election can go.
Absolutely. No question about it. Because no one wants to join. No one wants to waste resources, time or effort, or walk right into an honest and clear heartbreak unnecessarily. And so if you see...
Especially people who think they're making it, right? Especially people
exactly.
who think they're making it.
Exactly. And so people believe that you are going in the right direction, especially money. Money only follows success. Money don't follow loss. Not intentionally and certainly not deliberately. And money loves success more than any other thing in the world. And so if people gravitate to
what seat you running in, Antoine?
You know, Stefano, I can say something when I see a question that's supposed to be
Can't get straight talk from Antoine today.
No,
Antoine,
he can't give me an essay. No, I can answer you. Look here, I had cause to meet with the nation's leader recently, right, Trivago? And as I sat with the nation's leader, right, I was smiling at one or two things, and the nation's leader said to me, "You know what, Anton, you do have a future in politics." And Trivago, I tell you no lie, people around the party, they always knew that, and I believe that I become a target because of insecurities, although I never seek in any way, shape, or form to step on anyone's toes. People recognize your ability, they recognize your potential, and as you very well know, they will try to mask you in the ground if you're going to embark on that territory. So I'll leave that right there for the time being. God bless you, Vago.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, everybody.
This October, Bahama invites you to indulge your senses at the Culinary and Arts Festival, where world-class flavors meet breathtaking creativity in the heart of the Bahamas. Join us October 22nd through 26th for an unforgettable celebration featuring culinary legends Marcus Samuelson, Dario Cicchini, Simeon Hall Jr., and Scott Conant, alongside a vibrant lineup of chefs and mixologists. Explore captivating art installations, interactive workshops, and live performances, all set against the stunning backdrop of Nassau's premier luxury resort. From curated tasting events to beachfront feasts and immersive gallery experiences, this is more than a festival. It's a feast for the soul. Tickets and packages are going fast. Visit Bahamar.com to reserve your spot at the Culinary and Arts Festival at Bahamar, where taste and talent take center stage.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy.
Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
In the face of a storm, it's not just buildings that get tested. It's all of us. Insurance isn't just about repair, it's about recovery. So when the winds die down, you're already on the path forward. Having insurance can mean the difference between starting over and starting stronger. So talk to an authorized agent or broker of Bahamas First General Insurance about how the right coverage can support you through this season and whatever comes next. With Bahamas First, you're in safe hands in all seasons.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you make it down.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z-Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. Boy, life could play some tricks on you. I asked Antoine that question. Antoine answered, I understand, but you know the power went off over here? All over the place, the power went off. And so I didn't hear Antoine. But I'm assured that Antoine never gave an answer about any constituency. I don't know what he said. Oh, boy. Let me see if we have any more of your text to read. This text says, "Sir, I agree candidates are getting less impressive. And I live in Southern Shores. Major is the worst MP ever anywhere. Clint can never do worse." Well, I hope not. But I'll be able to vote for Clint. Clint go to Southern Shores. I wonder, what's in the mind of the leadership of the parties as they decide on candidates, right? Now, based on my own experience, and mine would be narrowly in relation to Mr. Ingram and the discussions I had with him and what I observed. And Mr. Ingram had a philosophy that one, yes, you are seeking to win the government, so you have to find candidates who can represent Repies' interest and brand in a way that can win the confidence of voters. But he also understood that he was trying to form a government if he won. So therefore, his candidate selection had to present the possibility, if he won, of forming a competent government. Okay, and that mattered because you, in that circumstance, yes, you would like people with experience in government, but that isn't always widespread. But you want people with the capacity to become quick learners or adapt to an environment of governing because they have the intellectual girth, they have the wherewithal to do the job when it was required. You know, your candidate selection also needed to present a broad enough spectrum of voters that the voters feel attracted to. So, there are instances in which you want to have young voters, young candidates representing that constituency. Mature candidates representing that constituency, women candidates representing that constituency, labor people representing the labor constituency, and that kind of thing. So business constituency, so that you have a profile in your candidate that appeals to a broad sector of the population. You also understood that you needed candidates whose name recognition and whose reputation could add value, strength to the ticket. And so you tried to bring those people on board. And sometimes the candidate could settle a community where who might be concerned, whether it's the financial services community or it's the labor community. But they could be concerned that, we have somebody who we think understands our business, understands our environment, understands our concerns. And so with that in mind, then you set about. Now you as a leader, you know that candidate selection isn't totally on you. You don't just get to go inside there and say, give me him, her, him and him and her. You can't do that. There's a process. There's a work you have to do with constituency associations, with the councils of the parties, in order to get candidates ratified. And so sometimes you might negotiate with the party, listen, if I'm to do this, give me a third of the candidates or 40% of the candidates of my choosing. And the rest of it can go as you desire, right? So you can take that approach. But all those considerations might be at play when you are trying to select a candidate. Do we have a call on the line, producer? No? Okay, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take our final break, and when we come back, we will continue and wrap up our conversation. We'll be back after this final break. Take a stand, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Ashai Institute, BENC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas, there, the Athlete's Foot, and BTC, Games and More, John Bullfine, Threads Alive, Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's, Clarkson Island Luck, Starbucks, and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, stop by today and explore.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Looking for insurance that fits your lifestyle and your budget? At Star General Insurance, we've got you covered. Whether it's motor insurance with flexible options for third-party liability and comprehensive coverage, or commercial insurance, choices you can afford. Own a home or renting?
Our home insurance products have just what you need. And for the adventurers out there, we offer marine insurance too. Visit our website or social media pages for contact information and quotes. Star General, insurance made simple.
Man, I can't wait to eat. I am starving.
You know our sport never disappoints.
Boy, I left my wallet in the room. No way I'm going back.
Relax, buddy. You've got your phone, right?
Yeah, I do.
Perfect. Just pay with Sand Dollars from your digital wallet.
Good thing Sand Dollar transactions are seamless, safe, and convenient.
Yep, Sand Dollar saved the day.
Experience the convenience of Sand Dollar, the digital currency of the Bahamas. Whether you're dining out or anywhere else, Sand Dollar ensures seamless transactions. Join the future of payments with Sand Dollar.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us. Listen, Anton is so powerful. Anton had all the current and power go off in Freeport. I didn't hear a word Anton said. Anton, under those extraordinary circumstances, you are back on the line. Go ahead, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Well, they didn't want me to hear what you had to say.
I had to hear producer. You know, recently, and very, very recently, when I say recently, Tobago, like within weeks, about the pleasure to meet with the nation's leader, Prime Minister Davis, right? My leader, who I support wholeheartedly, right?
And, he had to call you and you was going a little rogue for a little bit. You ain't called to see him, he called to see you. Don't forget, now in this business, I've been in this business for a little while before, you know. can't have my foot soldier general out there carrying on.
Against that background, Chicago, I have had conversations with some people as well, right, who sits around the table, but I'll leave that right there. But one of the things he said to me, Chicago, without me even saying anything along that line, one of the things he said to me outright was, Anton, you do have a future in politics. I want you to know that. And he began to say one or two other things to me along that line. But what I wanted to say to you from my personal perspective and also experience is I recognize, Shibago, that people around you, whether they sit at the table or not, or whether they're trying to get to the table, they see your potential. They know your abilities. Right? And when they feel threatened by you, Shibago, they will do whatever they can. And some on the slick, because some, and you know who they are, but because of the decency and professionalism that you conduct yourself with, the decorum that you carry yourself with, you pay them no mind, right? They will do all nasty manners of things to try and undermine you with the leadership, right? And so, yes, I would, if the opportunity presented itself, Shibago, but I would not pursue
Anton, yes. With the greatest respect to you, though, you are a general. You are a four-star general in the PLP.
Yes.
You call defending the PLP. Sometimes you
absolutely
just rationally criticize. But I could not fathom, listen to me, I couldn't fathom why you and Latrey couldn't be candidates in the next election. Now, if the Prime Minister thinks you have a future, then Chester Cooper must not think so. I tell you, before you know, I know plenty takes. I'm just kidding. I just know they're the two ladies in the party. They're the two ladies in the party.
You know I can't respond to that.
I have a text right now. Say, tell Antoine, sit down. Chester Cooper is the real leader of the PRP.
That's
the text they gave to me.
And that text is true, Chavago. If the leader, that will not change, right? But the leader has a different modus operandi, Chavago.
But seriously, Antoine, you've been around politics for a long time. You've been around human beings for a long time. And of course, you know, jealousy, envy, or just preference or ambition is a standard play in the dynamics of politics. And so, you know what I mean? Some people will want you, some people don't want you. But I can tell you one thing. If the leader wants you, then you, the leader, shall have.
Absolutely. You know what? You hit the nail right on the head. I know. If I could just say one thing about HAI, former Prime Minister HAI, your leader, the man who handpicked you in cabinet, you know, you had one of the other blue-eyed boys on your show the other day, right? As young men, you and Darren Cass, certainly. And I wanted to make a comment while he was on the show, right? But I know it would have been inappropriate because of the topic that you were discussing. But please, just let me say this, Shivago. I'm a PLP, and I support wholeheartedly this particular leader, especially this leader, right? And and my father's support goes all the way back to the beginning for the prior leader, as well as he's just a Linden PLP, right? But I hope that the wisdom within the FNM sees the need to bring forward a Darren Cass again on the front lines, but at a constituency level, and perhaps even more because of what he brings to the table, because of his knowledge, his intelligence, his vision, et cetera, et cetera. He comes from same crop of politics and politicians that you are from, and he certainly still has a lot left in him to serve to this nation. Thank you for
Darren, thank you, man. I appreciate you calling. Darren Cash is a standard. And I can tell you one thing. You know, when Darren and I were in the College of the Bahamas, we used to talk about the Lang and Cash administration. Way back then, that's how long we were ambitious toward national development and participating in it. And I believe that he is definitely a quality human being, and would be someone who the country should be happy and delighted to have in the ranks of its governance, however that happens, whenever that happens, and so forth. That's my strong view, wholehearted view. All right, we have a text here that says, Mr. Lang, Anton is running. Name may not be on the ballot, but as a general, he is running. Well, he ain't gonna be running unless his name on the ballot. And if the prime minister wants him, I don't see why Anton shouldn't have a seat, right? If the prime minister wants him, unless some who could stop the prime minister from getting his man if he wants him. So, Lang, why is it that the FNM carry on bad when the person of their choice is not selected as a candidate? The PLP is highly unlikely to do that. Pintard need to educate the members. I keep telling people the FF, you know, remember, the FNM grew out of a culture of opposing the sitting power. So that had to take a certain independence of mind to do. And so that kind of independence of mind, it has been a staple within the FNM. So it's not surprising that some people kick up and fuss up, but they don't realize that sometimes they're shooting themselves in the foot. But, you know, if that's how you... some people ain't about the party, you know. They just put their own thing. That's the reality. Just be aware of that. Some people couldn't give two hoots about the FNM or the PLP. What they are interested in as those two as vehicles to getting them where they will go. It says, as soon as they bring Darren Cash back, people in the PLP, like the chairman, Fred Mitchell, will say they recycle politicians. Well, you know, it'll be hard to say you're recycling politicians because you realize that Prime Minister Davis has to nominate to contest a seat in the next election, right? Would he be a recycled politician? So would Chester Cooper. Would he be a recycled politician? So would Fred Mitchell. Would he be a recycled politician? So any person who is now sitting as a member of parliament and who has been there for years, who has to nominate again and therefore would represent, in quote, a recycled politician. That's how life, that's how it go. Just because you're all in a big position, don't change that. And so we've had many recycled politicians in this country. So Lyndon would have been a recycled politician. Hubert Ingraham would have been a recycled politician. Perry Christie would have been a recycled politician. Dr. Minnis would have been a recycled politician. So would Prime Minister Davis. This text says, yes, I am. Jeff, yes, if the PM wants him, that's gospel, but we can have a laugh with Anton. Yeah, he's stopping you from having your laugh. Okay. Let me see if I get this last text here. Yeah. Do we have another call on the line, producer? Yes, go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hello, Mr. Lang.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, I always appreciate your show. Let me tell you that I go back from You Are You Leader and always appreciate dynamic in terms of even your whole aspect of reporting to and speaking to youth of the nation. I think you did a very great job. Let me just say that I associated with the FM. So yeah, I mean that's where I know you from. Like
yeah, many many years, long years.
Your message to the youth were very, very well received. But I called about the fact that, man, politics is polarized. I mean, I can't even get away from that because people vote from, I guess, feelings. I don't know if that's the right word I'm using. And it is not always based on measured decision, and as you'd mentioned a couple of times, based on the consequences, they don't think about that. They just decide, okay, I'm gonna vote for this party. This is the party that I subscribe to, and I'm gonna stick with this party no matter what. And I see it all the time, and that's always like the mantra for elections. And always work out the way we want it to work out because, like you mentioned, the party that you vote for, you have to live with the consequences. And so that's my 5 cents. That's all I wanted to say.
Gotcha. I got you, brother. Appreciate you calling, man. Anton, I can read this for you, and this is the last note we can get today. It says, Prime Minister Davis is just pump faking with Anton. He's pretending he's doing what former Prime Minister of Finland did to him. Or Pinland, Prime Minister, former Prime Minister Pinland. Anton, this is PM Pumping. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us today. God spares life. We'll be back with you again tomorrow. Do well and have a great evening.